Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Malka Bat Simcha, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Yehoshua Ben Ben Sion, Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeh Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. The first is the China trade war, the tariffs with Communist China. Donald Trump has been imposing tariffs on Communist China and has been vigorously criticized by so many people. This is one issue where JTF agrees with Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump is doing the right thing in regard to China. The second subject I want to speak about are these mass shootings that have taken place in Texas and Ohio. The country is literally going nuts here. And how these mass shootings are going to be used, God forbid, to curtail Second Amendment rights to bear arms, which is very dangerous. And there are many other aspects to the shootings that are dangerous. It also continues to build on this media narrative of how white males are terrible people and anti-white propaganda that the media uses from these shootings. So we're going to discuss that as well. But first, China. This is one issue where most Republicans disagree with Donald Trump. Most Republicans who are in elected office, the senators, the congressmen, the establishment people, because they're all paid off by the big companies that are doing business with China and from Chinese influence. The Chinese have tremendous influence on American politics. They're deeply involved in American politics. And I'm talking about, when I say the Chinese, I'm talking about the Chinese from Communist China. I'm not speaking about Chinese Americans. Chinese Americans, of course, have every right to be involved in American politics. But I'm speaking about the foreign Chinese influence in the United States from Communist China. And so the establishment politicians, they're against any tariffs. They're against trade wars with China. But what Trump is doing is actually the right thing and is long overdue. It's long overdue that we have a president and an administration that's standing up against the very unfair ripoff that has taken place against American consumers and against the American economy for many, many years from China, Japan, and many other countries. Trump is standing up against this. Trump finally is waging war, at least in terms of China, to make it clear that the United States is not going to be pushed around anymore and is not going to allow the Chinese to steal hundreds of billions of American dollars with cheap slave labor. They have cheap slave labor camps where they pay virtually nothing to their workers. And so, of course, they produce cheaper products. And the result is millions of American jobs are lost. And the American manufacturing industry has been decimated. A country that has no manufacturing base. A country that no longer creates its own products, that has to import everything from abroad, is a country that is vulnerable. Is a country that is not functioning in a healthy manner, is a country without a healthy economy and without a healthy society. Almost all the jobs in America now are service jobs. Americans don't produce, don't manufacture, don't create anymore the way they used to. And that's very dangerous for American society and very dangerous for the American economy. And so Trump appropriately is trying to recreate American manufacturing jobs. He's trying to defend the blue-collar workers in the United States. And in the end, American consumers will benefit if the United States is not held hostage to a foreign country like China, which creates a huge percentage of products that Americans use right now. That's not a healthy situation. And it does devastate the American economy. It's a tremendous weakness in the American economy when everything is dependent on slave labor in Communist China. So what Trump is doing is appropriate. We would be even more aggressive than he is. But he is courageously standing up, even though business leaders, Wall Street executives, Republican leaders, who only think about the next moment. They're only interested in the next quarter, what it's going to mean on their profit margins for the next quarter. They don't think about the long term. And so they're all critical of this. They don't like this. But Trump is thinking about the long term. And that's something he should be praised for. That is something that takes guts. And he has stood up to China with courage. That he deserves praise for that. He has stood up to the Chinese government. And this is the first time that we've ever seen an American president and an American government doing this since the end of World War II. Since the end of World War II, everyone has been appeasing all of America's trade partners. Nobody has stood up to any of the countries that are fleecing the American people and fleecing the American consumers. Nobody has stood up for them. Nobody stood up for American manufacturing jobs. Nobody has stood up for American jobs in general. And so Donald Trump is doing something that is appropriate. And I hope that this demonstrates to the people of Israel and to the Jewish people something. Because if Donald Trump wins this battle, he's going to prove something very important for Israel and the Jewish people. He's going to prove that a nation must have economic independence. That doesn't mean you don't trade with other countries. You do trade with other countries, and you do compete with other countries. But you do so only on equal footing. And you do not sell out your national interests to foreign interests, like the Israeli government does, the government of Benjamin Netanyahu and all the Israeli politicians are doing, and like all the American politicians before Trump did. You don't do that. You defend your own country's jobs, employment base, manufacturing, the ability of your own country to create things. That's something that you defend. And even if it means that there's some short-term pain in order to achieve long-term gain, you wage that battle. That's important because Israel can be an independent nation and a sovereign nation. Israel does not have to be a slavishly dependent country that does whatever the United States and other countries tell her to do. She doesn't have to do that. Israel is capable of achieving full independence. That doesn't mean Israel won't trade with other countries. Israel will trade with other countries. But Israel certainly doesn't need U.S. so-called foreign aid. The several billion dollars a year that the United States sends to Israel in so-called foreign aid, first of all, hurts the Israeli economy terribly. You can't build a healthy economy with handouts. It hurts Israel's economy. U.S. so-called foreign aid is less than 3% of Israel's national budget. Less than 3% of her national budget. Now, Israel in the past cut far more than 3% in the budget, so Israel can easily make cuts and live without that 3%. Without the foreign aid, Israel would not be required to buy American weapon systems instead of developing her own weapon systems with Jewish brains. Israel has a huge reservoir of Jewish brain power. Most American weapon systems are created by Jewish brains. Most of the great creators in America are Jewish. And so Israel also has this great resource and can create tremendous innovations, but doesn't do so because America vetoes it. Under the so-called foreign aid that America gives to Israel, America vetoes Israel's ability to create new weapon systems or to sell new weapon systems or to sell various technologies or to develop various technologies. Israel would be much stronger militarily, economically, socially, in every respect, if Israel did not get U.S. foreign aid and if Israel had a truly independent policy. And Israel's trade with other countries would actually improve tremendously if not for this unnecessary, obscene dependence on U.S. so-called foreign aid. Israel would be able to sell many billions of dollars in all types of new products all around the world if not for U.S. foreign aid, if Israel had a truly independent policy. So I hope that Israel and the Jews will learn a lesson from this. I hope Trump wins this battle, and I hope it teaches a lesson to the Jews of Israel. If Trump wins the battle, it'll mean that he will be restoring many jobs to U.S. manufacturing. He will be greatly improving the situation for American blue-collar workers in states like Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, that have been devastated by America's willingness to become totally and slavishly dependent on Chinese slave labor. Trump can restore that manufacturing base. If he succeeds, if he stays strong and succeeds, eventually he's going to win. Eventually he's going to win because China's economy will collapse without a very strong trade relationship with the United States. China cannot survive without a strong trade relationship with the United States. China does not have a healthy economy. China's economy is artificial and pumped up and filled with government controls and bureaucracy and depends on slave labor and very cheap labor, either slave labor or very cheap labor. And so China cannot go on for a very long time in this type of situation, and Trump is standing up to them finally. So let's hope he stays strong, let's hope he doesn't cave in, and let's hope that he wins this battle, because it'll be good for American workers and good for the American economy and good for American manufacturing and good for American consumers and good for the American trade balance, and it'll also set a good example for Israel and for the Jewish people, because they can do the same thing on a much smaller level. Israel, of course, it's a much smaller situation because Israel is only a nation of 6 million Jews. But on a much smaller level, Israel can indeed do the same thing and can also create a situation where there is an independent economy and where there is a healthy economy that functions properly. And then Israel will not be vulnerable to American pressure. Even now, Israel is not really vulnerable. Israel does not have to give in to American pressure or pressure from anyone else. It's complete nonsense. What is America going to do? Cut off the so-called foreign aid? That would be the best favor they could do for Israel. But in the mind of the self-hating Jewish generation that we live in now, in the minds of these self-hating, ghetto-minded Jews, they think, oh, without American aid, we can't survive 5 minutes. Just nonsense. Complete nonsense. The opposite is true. American foreign aid endangers Israel. And so, if we just eliminated this psychological barrier and had no more U.S. foreign aid, Israel could have a more independent foreign policy and a more independent policy toward her enemies. And that means that Israel could defend herself the way she's supposed to defend herself, the way she's not defending herself today under the appeasing, cowardly surrender policies of Benjamin Netanyahu and the phony right in Israel. The second subject we want to speak about are the mass shootings that have been taking place. There were two mass shootings in less than 24 hours, one in Texas, one in Ohio. Here, Trump actually has not had a positive influence. He's the same as all the other presidents, immoral. He's not giving the American people a moral reason and a moral education and moral principles to stand on. And when that happens, the country begins to go crazy, becomes unstable and goes crazy, and all types of crazy things happen. If you don't have a belief in God, if you don't have a belief in the Bible, if you don't have moral principles, if you don't have a decent society with stable families and stable communities, this is what's going to happen. And so you have these nut jobs that acquire weapons and go into shopping malls and go into entertainment centers and start murdering people at random. Now, the immediate answer to this is not taking away people's guns, gun confiscation, and the other anti-Second Amendment actions that the Democrats and the left would like to impose. That certainly is not the answer. In fact, the opposite is true. If the people in these shopping centers and in these entertainment centers were better armed, there would be fewer casualties. In fact, there would have been far more casualties in Texas, for instance, if there had not been armed police there that took down, that eventually stopped the murderer. They should have killed him. And they stopped him and they arrested him. You don't arrest an animal like this. But anyway, the fact is, the more armed people that you have, the more armed, law-abiding citizens that you have, the safer your community is. If law-abiding citizens are armed, I'm not talking about mentally unstable nut jobs who get weapons illegally. And I'm not speaking about that. I'm speaking about if you have a moral society and a decent society, and law-abiding citizens are able to acquire weapons, then you'll have a safer society. That's what we always had historically. You never had this in the United States. You didn't have these mass killings and this craziness 50 years ago, 100 years ago. 100 years ago, you had virtually no restrictions on gun ownership or on acquiring weapons. And yet the murder rate in the United States was much lower and the crime rate was much lower. Why? So, obviously something is wrong here, and it is not because of guns. The more stringent gun control laws that you impose, the worse the situation is going to be. When you take guns away from law-abiding citizens, the criminals, the lunatics, the murderers, the mass shooters, they're going to get their weapons anyway, illegally on the black market. They're going to get those weapons. But law-abiding citizens will not be able to protect themselves. People, for instance, in their homes will not be able to protect themselves from criminal, armed criminals coming in and going into their home and shooting and killing everybody and robbing them. If those criminals know that the owners of the home are armed and are going to shoot them, that is a deterrent. And the same thing is true in stores and everywhere else, in schools and stores, everywhere else. The more armed, law-abiding, trained people, and they should be trained, and we should have training for people who have weapons. The more you have trained, armed, law-abiding citizens, the safer society will be from every aspect. The Democrats want to completely obliterate all Second Amendment rights, the way they've obliterated most other rights in the Constitution already and are gradually just making this country a socialist nightmare. And so the program that the Democrats, I mean, just look at the Democrats today. Look at how extreme they are. Look at the communist insanity that we saw at these presidential debates where everybody's trying to out-commie the other one. I mean, every candidate tries to be more of a communist than the other one. I mean, you have the front-running candidates like Bernie Sanders, who went on his honeymoon when he married a shiksa, okay, married a non-Jewish woman outside the Jewish faith, this communist, atheist, traitor, this self-hating Jew. He married a non-Jewish woman, which Jews are not allowed to do. Intermarriage is not permitted. And then went to the Soviet Union to celebrate, to have his honeymoon. That was the country that he most admires, the Soviet Union. I mean, what a sick, demented, evil piece of communist filth. And he's one of the front-running candidates for president. He got over 40% of the delegates at the Democrat National Convention in 2016. He got over 40% of the delegates. He nearly won the nomination. And he's one of the front-running candidates. And look at the other candidate, Elizabeth Warren. She 100% agrees with what Bernie Sanders stands for. She's also a communist. And the other opportunists and frauds, Beto O'Rourke, who says we should tear down the fence and tear down all barriers at the border, on the southern border. All barriers. We should tear down that fence, he said. I mean, just absolute insanity and national suicide is what they're advocating. They want to end all support for ICE, which is the only agency that prevents illegal aliens from coming to the United States. We shouldn't have any agency to protect the borders or to prevent people from illegally coming to the United States, according to most of the Democrats. They want to abolish the law. change the law which makes it illegal to enter the United States illegally. In other words, anyone could enter the United States illegally, could just come right across the border illegally. It won't be a crime anymore, according to what the Democrats are advocating. At the most, you'll get a fine. It won't be a criminal offense. It'll be a civil issue. So you get a fine. That's going to deter people. That's like inviting hundreds of millions of third world people from Africa and from every third world country, from the Muslim countries, to come flooding into the United States. So there's no question that on these issues, Trump is not the president that this country really needs. The country needed a true conservative, and Trump is not a true conservative. But the Democrats are worse, much worse. And on the issue of Israel, the Democrats are worse. The anti-Semitic Democrats will do everything they can to force Israel to commit suicide. Of course, you can't. When I say force, the Jews don't have to give in. The Jews have God on their side. If they resisted the pressure and stood for what was right, God would protect them and bless them like never before. But because we have the Jewish traitors in power like Netanyahu, who always cave in to American pressure, who always give in to the dictates of people who want to hurt Israel, always, because we have these traitor, self-hating leaders in Israel, and because we have Jews who are so stupid that they don't realize that their leaders are self-hating traitors, we are in a situation where we're very vulnerable. And if we have an American president whose foreign policy is being determined by the squad, whose foreign policy is being determined by pure hatred for the Jewish people and a desire to destroy Israel and to help the Arabs fulfill their dream of pushing the Jews into the sea and committing a Holocaust against 6 million Israeli Jews, which is the goal of the Arab Muslim enemies of Israel. God forbid. If we have an American president who does everything they can to help the Arabs achieve that, we're in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of danger. And that is where we're headed if next year Trump is defeated for re-election. Trump himself poses a lot of dangers to Israel. But the Democrats pose a greater danger. And that's why I believe that we don't have much choice. As much as we don't like Trump, and we don't, we're in a situation where our backs are against the wall. It's either Trump or it's the anti-Semitic Democrats. And again, the anti-Semitic Democrats pose a mortal threat to Israel's survival. On the issue of Iran, for instance, Trump again showed what a wimp he is when it comes to Iran. I wish he was 1% as tough on Iran as he is on China. On Iran, he has declined to accept the advice of his Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and his National Security Advisor, John Bolton, who have said, at the very least, prevent Iran from selling any oil. That will cause a collapse of the Iranian economy. And then they won't be able to continue with their nuclear program. At least cripple, completely cripple their oil sales. But Trump hasn't done that. He hasn't imposed the type of sanctions that would really, really cripple Iran's ability to do any business with any banks, Iran's ability to sell any oil, Iran's ability to have any trade anywhere. The United States can cripple Iran's economy. And Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and National Security Advisor John Bolton have advised Trump that he should be doing this, and he has refused their advice. Instead, he's listening to that anti-Semitic piece of filth, Rand Paul, yimach shmo v'zichro, that anti-Semite, that filthy Jew-hating piece of dog manure. And so Trump is showing on Iran that he's too wimpy to do what has to be done. But at least he did scrap Obama's horrific deal with Iran, where Iran was getting hundreds of billions of dollars in trade, and he has imposed some sanctions. But still, it's not what we really need. So there's still a great danger with Trump. But with the Democrats, the danger is far greater, because the Democrats want to reinstate Obama's horrific agreement with Iran that rewards Iran for building nuclear bombs, that enables Iran to build nuclear bombs, and that creates a massive nuclear arms race among all Muslim countries in the Middle East, which is the ultimate nightmare for Israel and the ultimate nightmare for the United States and for the whole world. So I don't think we have a choice. Trump is a lesser of the evils. That doesn't mean, again, we must never forget, a lesser of the evils is still evil. But he does clearly appear on the issue of Israel and the Jewish people, involving, we're talking about the future of Israel and the Jewish people, he is the lesser of the evils. And so we have to support him, and we're going to, God willing, I hope that we'll launch a campaign on his behalf that will help him. The current polls don't look good. Every poll I've seen, almost every poll I've seen, shows Trump behind the Democrats. And please don't tell me, well, he was behind in 2016 and look what happened. If all the polls, including Fox, the Republican polls from Fox, show that he's running way behind, if the Fox poll shows that Joe Biden is 10 points ahead of him, that's bad news. Okay, there's a real danger there. So let's not be foolish and just be blind and say, oh, we have no problem, we're going to win, we don't care what the polls say. That's not smart. Okay, there's a real chance that the Democrats could win next year, a real strong chance. And that's something that I think would be bad for Israel and for the Jews, which is our number one issue. And therefore, we're going to do whatever we can to prevent that from happening. You see, on all of these issues, that the United States has a leader who was elected despite the fact that the entire political establishment was against him, because the United States is a real democracy. Israel is not. If Israel were a real democracy, I'm going to say something that might be shocking to you, but if Israel were a real democracy, first of all, Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, our beloved rabbi, he would have been prime minister. He would have been elected instead of being banned from running. He was banned. He would have eventually become prime minister. He would have, just like Trump eventually got elected president, Rabbi Kahana would have been elected prime minister eventually. And I could have gone to Israel if Israel were a real democracy. And believe me, I would have gotten a lot of support and a lot of votes with the political party. If you had real freedom in Israel to run like you have in the United States, I would have gotten a lot of support running in Israel. And eventually could have been elected prime minister as well, eventually. That's not going to happen, unfortunately. That's never going to happen, because Israel is a dictatorship, and because the Jews, the sick, self-hating Jews of our generation, accept the fact that Israel is a dictatorship. We can't accept it. We've got to fight against it. We've got to do everything we can to change that situation and to create a new generation of Jews that won't think like the self-hating generation that we have now, and that will start thinking like self-respecting Jews, like God-fearing Jews, like Torah-true Jews, like Jews who want to survive and who want to win. Because Israel can win. God has given Israel all the tools necessary to win. We saw that in the 1967 Six-Day War, and Israel could easily do it again if Israel had the will to win. The problem is we don't have leaders with the will to win. And those who advocate a policy of victory are not even allowed. I'm not even allowed to enter Israel. And the politicians who advocate a policy of victory are not even allowed to run when they're in Israel. That's the problem we face, and that's what has to be changed. And JTF is doing everything we can to create a new consciousness among the Jews of Israel. We're going to do that. We're going to work to achieve that. And if you help us with our videos, with our education campaign, we can reach the people of Israel, God willing, and hopefully, we can convince enough of them that they have to do something. They have to support people that advocate change, and they have to do what has to be done to bring about change. Because if enough people in Israel demand change, change will come. And if change comes and you allow the real self-respecting Jews, the God-fearing Jews, to promote their ideas, that will not only save Israel, that will bring the redemption and save the world. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. We always fight against the odds, but in the end, we've been promised by Hashem, by God, that the good guys are going to win eventually. Eventually, that's going to happen. It's going to be a very difficult battle. It's a very tough battle and an uphill battle, but in the end, it's going to happen. One way or the other, it's going to happen in the end. Again, if we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.